imagine you're walking outside and suddenly birds start falling from the sky, dead or dying. That's what happened recently in some towns in western Massachusetts. Residents thought it was the cold and were stunned to find out it was the federal government, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, poisoning starlings in towns across the country because they're a nuisance. Now, starlings were brought to Central Park, New York in the 1890s from England as an homage to birds mentioned in Shakespeare's Henry IV, but they spread quickly. Now they're invasive, doing millions of dollars of damage to crops and livestock feeds, causing airplanes to crash, competing for habitat with native species. Bob Mulvihill is an ornithologist at the National Aviary in Pittsburgh, the country's largest. He joins us now from WESA in Pittsburgh. Bob, first of all, tell us more about how these birds are poisoned.
The poison is called Starlicide, is the common market name for it, and it, you know, emphasizing it's really focused on control of European starlings. It also happens to be lethal to blackbirds of several kinds and crows. But it does have a very a short life. It's metabolized quickly. The metabolic breakdown products of the poison are not toxic, and it acts rather slowly. I guess it's anywhere from a day or two until the bird that consumes the feed is actually killed. But by the time it's killed, the carcass itself contains very small amounts, if any, of the poison that it was ingested.
So the USDA says it's safe for cats, owls, or other raptors. But then there's a question people still have, you know, killing creatures because they're an inconvenience. What do you think of the, you know, acoustic methods or, trained falconers can sometimes disperse birds?
Yeah. I think that when there is just a nuisance issue, that killing large numbers of birds is perhaps not really the way that we should be thinking about going. But, of course, I understand that for all the people who don't want birds to be killed, there are some very loud voices oftentimes telling the USDA that they want the problem solved. The acoustic methods and the, which is broadcasting loud distress calls of birds and so forth, or the use of a trained falcon by a falconer to drive the birds away, certainly can work, but it certainly is a nagging problem.
Well, at the very least, what we've learned from this story is that if towns are going to have the USDA come in and poison, they should tell the residents so that they understand why birds are falling from the sky.
I think that certainly is true. That would go a long way, I think, to causing something like this to not be the story that it is. But I will say that the starlings, for a farmer, you know, who's working to make his living, you know, are probably not viewed in the same way that, you know, the big flocks lifting off, and they starlings are famous for creating those murmurations, which are those sort of gorgeous, you know, living sculptures in the sky where they just twist and turn and move. And that's actually a response to an aerial predator. And they're doing that to sort of avoid the predator. But it's a spectacle. It's a natural spectacle that's quite beautiful to see. There's no question about that. But again, if you're feeding your cows and your pigs and the birds are stealing a significant percentage of the food that you're putting out for your animals, and or if you're concerned that there's a possibility of transmission of disease to the animals that are your livelihood, it's a whole different matter.
Bob Mulvihill, an ornithologist at the National Aviary there in Pittsburgh. Bob, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.